It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was 8 goals.
It felt like
they came that quick. Like in real time, like what you just heard there. Judd Zerat on Nesson. Good job by Nick throwing it together.
Trying to count candy last night. Every time you look up from the bucket, it's like
they
goal.
Scored again?
Another goal. Like, I missed that one. Another goal.
Another
goal.
One?
Yeah.
How'd they do that? 3 goals in a minute last night for Carolina.
Yeesh.
As Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, points out today, all of Jim Montgomery's line shuffling came back to bite him last night.
You don't think it worked?
In the worst way. Not just how the team came out. I guess you don't want to say not ready to go, right? I mean, it's 1-1. They score a goal on the power play relatively early in the game. They get gifted this long 5-on-3. They get gifted actually a lot of power play time in the first period. So say they came out flat maybe isn't totally accurate, but they didn't fight much for Jim Montgomery last night. 3 goals in a minute. Boom, blink, it's over. It's 6-2 after 2. It's 8-2 by the end of the game. And this is a coach that feels like he's flailing around. He shuffled all his lines. And yesterday, all those fourth liners that he spread throughout the lineup, they're all in the penalty box watching goals get scored past Jeremy Swayman last night.
Yeah, brutal.
They're all part of it.
You got to see your guy Corpusalo.
I did get to see my guy Corpusalo.
Better, get to play a little bit.
Better numbers than Swayman last night.
Yeah, sure was.
But not great.
No. Not great. No, and this is one where, you know, everybody's like, it's early. No, this is a problem. Like, they are a mess. And 5 games into the year, they were 3-2, and the 2 losses were to Florida. So you're like, well, you can't beat Florida. So maybe that's your issue, but, like, maybe that's not the problem.
Yeah, a lot of teams can't beat Florida, right? So not to brush it aside, but I get it. You're losing to the Stanley Cup champion. I get it.
It was already a slower start than the previous 2 years under Jim Montgomery, the record-setting year, and then even last year where they came out swinging, and you're like, all right, how are they going to follow up the devastating first-round loss after the huge regular season and the loss of their 2 veteran centers? They came out great. They came out of House of Fire a year ago. This year, not so much. So after that first 5-game stretch, they've now only won 1 game. They've gotten a couple of extra like loser points in there. They beat Toronto in overtime. But other than that, it's just surrounded by all these losses. And then the last one, the worst of the group, 8-2 to Carolina, when you are obviously kind of up against it. You're playing so poorly. Jim Montgomery is feeling the pressure. He's changing lines left and right. He's bumping Brad Marchand. They're fighting for their lives out there. And that's the performance you have? I know it's a good team, but like, you're also supposed to be a good team. Like, I'm not Florida, different story. Like, Florida's a tough matchup and all that. Like, Carolina, you got to be more competitive than that. Plus, a lot of the same issues they've had all year, sort of like dumb penalties, having to kill off penalties, which they can't do, comes back to bite them.
I mean,
they
score on the power play last night.
Okay, good.
But
they allowed what, 2?
Well, I'm just saying they generally don't do that.
No.
So their power play has been terrible. Last night, scoring aside, they get smoked last night. They can't kill off penalties. They're in the box more than just about any other team.
They weren't even getting shots.
Let me give you the standings.
There's no shots.
Oh, I think the Bruins after 2 had 7 shots. Is that right?
I think so. And there was a stat for a while where they had like 1 5-on-5 shot for like a huge chunk of the game. I mean, they ended the game with 15 shots.
After the 2 5-on-3s, they had 6 shots.
Okay, there you go.
And one of them was a double minor, which they didn't get a shot on the first penalty, I don't think.
Classic. So that's
the Bruins had 2 goalies face as many shots as the Hurricanes 1 goalie.
Yeah.
Those guys split time in the East, saw at least as much action.
So that's a dead team and a team that's not playing for their coach. And I tried to tell you, the significance of the Brad Marchand, Jim Montgomery dust up, the shove.
Yeah.
What'd you call it? You referred to it as a
fist fight.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Earlier this hour, you said something different. People don't in the Twitch chat don't like calling it a shove.
Oh, it was
the interaction
a dust
between
up?
The two. Fine.
No.
So,
a brouhaha?
Whatever it was.
Tomfoolery?
I didn't think it was.
Donnybrook?
Donnybrook.
I might have been a Donnybrook. I didn't think Montgomery shoving him, tapping him on the shoulder, whatever it was, I didn't think that was the most egregious thing. I thought Brad Marchand, just not even looking at it, just staring off into space, like your wife is talking to you in the middle of, you know, your fantasy matchup, you're watching
it's
it
the
on
Ben
TV.
Affleck. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
He's just staring off, and he's like, I want nothing to do. That, to me, was the significance.
Yeah.
It was the visual embodiment of tuning out your coach.
Team captain.
The captain doing it. This is what was going through his head.
Yeah, 100%.
While Jim Montgomery's yelling at him and tapping him on the shoulder and shoving him and yelling at him. Like, that's what it was. And so, to me, that was the takeaway from that. They've tuned him out. They've quit on him. And if you don't know that by now, I don't know what to tell you.
What the hell was that last night? That was rock bottom.
Let me give you this. We told you yesterday, all day,
yep.
Bruins are in last place in the division. That's not a bad enough way to say it. They have nine.
Dead last.
They have 9 points. Only 4 teams in the NHL have fewer points than them, and 2 of them have played fewer games. The Islanders and Predators have only played 10 to the Bruins' 11. The Islanders and Sharks both have 8 points. The Predators and Blackhawks each have 7. The Bruins have 9. There's only 4 teams in the NHL with fewer points, and we're 11 games in. And so, Keith, you had your scoop yesterday. What was it again?
Very, very hot seat from the top on down. Ownership is not happy with the Bruins start. Nobody's happy with the Bruins start, but I think they are specifically looking at Jim Montgomery.
It's on ownership's radar, right?
Yeah,
it's
yes.
not just, hey,
yes.
Cam and Don Sweeney
or
and the players.
All of us
pissy.
As fans are saying he should be out. It's like, no, the top down is looking at this as a major problem.
And so to me, that's the important part of the scoop. I think a lot of people have speculated about Montgomery's job security.
He went into the year without a contract, but
correct.
Also there was talk. So we focused so much on the Swayman contract, and it made sense to do that. But you remember every once in a while there'd be like at these press conferences, like, well, what about like Marchand? What about Montgomery? Like two other, your captain and your coach are going into the last years of their deal. So are you going to sign those guys? And it wasn't crazy. I think at one point they were talking about a long-term extension with Montgomery.
Yeah.
So then you play 10 games, he's on the hot seat, and everyone's like, yeah, of course he is. It's like, well,
again,
if you were that close to a new contract, like how could he also be 1 foot out the door?
Again, the difference is there's been a lot of speculation about Montgomery and his job security. What you're saying is ownership has him on the hot seat right
correct.
Now. That's different than us sitting. I've been speculating for a while about it, but it's different to say it's on ownership's radar, especially Jeremy Jacobs detached up in Buffalo. Like, oh, the news has gotten all the way to Buffalo. Yeah. This hockey team kind of stinks, and he's upset about it, and they might miss the playoffs, and he might miss out on a playoff gate and money, and he's upset about that. So that's significant. I think it's significant when Scott McLaughlin writes about it at WEEI. You know, the writers, the beat writers, people who cover the team, they're always a little less willing to go there than we are on the radio. They're covering the team day to day. They have to face the coach and ask questions to the coach. We just sit here in a studio and say whatever pops into our head.
That's true.
It's a different job. He writes today, Jim Montgomery threw his Hail Mary, meaning the lineup changes,
yes.
shuffling everything.
Yep.
And he says there was no magical Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown connection.
No, there was not. There was whatever the opposite of that was.
It feels like only a matter of time at this point before Sweeney throws his Hail Mary, i.e. fires Montgomery on behalf of his owner.
Yep.
And so that's
where
we're at. I mean,
yeah,
that's
happening.
What? Are you surprised it hasn't happened yet? Like,
a little bit. So
what are they waiting
for? So they have the day off today. There's no game, but then they're all at Philadelphia Saturday afternoon, and then they're home to Seattle on Sunday afternoon.
Philly, the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Arguably.
One of the worst.
It might be you now.
Well, yeah, right.
But they just blanked you the other night, 2-0 in Boston.
It's like
you have Philly.
It's the Pats Titans of hockey on Saturday.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know. If they lose to Philly, you think he's coaching that game at home on Sunday? I know it's a back-to-back, but it's also a home-road thing.
I mean, I'm assuming because we haven't had an announcement yet, he's going to be coaching against Philly tomorrow, but like...
If they lose that one?
Okay, are you even...
I'm mini-surprised that
I'm mini-surprised he's even making it to that game, so no, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they lost that game. At all.
And then you got a new guy behind the bench on Sunday.
Yeah,
it's the crack.
And again, it's not like you have a super qualified or great head coach sitting there and waiting. That's not my feeling on it. It's just changing the voice in the room because it's not working. As a lead voice, Jim Montgomery isn't working. Maybe you empower someone behind the bench.
Man, that was a short shelf life. That was the guy took over because Bruce Cassidy was mean to the players, and they won a million regular season games out in the first round. Comes back the second year, better maybe than we expected regular season, win one round, but still questions about him goalie rotations, too many men on the ice, all these different things. And then I know hockey, they change their coaches all over the place.
Yep.
It is quick hooks all the time. But, I mean, Claude and Cassidy were both here for a good stretch. And you feel like, you know, the Jacobs, one of their big knocks all the time was like, they just want playoffs. As long as they have their playoff gate, they're fine. They don't need a Stanley Cup team, right? That's been the knock on them for decades. And this team is a perennial playoff team. But even that, like, even this is like, well, right now you're trending on missing the playoffs, so we're going to get out in front of this and see you later.
So we get a lot of texts like this, 37937, and you're right, it's a super short shelf life, even by the life of a hockey coach.
Yeah.
37937, maybe they should fire the two dip.
Wait a minute. Easy.
The two dips who put this team together.
Oh.
Neely and Sweeney.
Mm.
I mean, look, I'd have no problem moving on from Sweeney. I wouldn't. But I don't think... Do you think the roster is a big issue? I felt better about the
roster. I really don't.
I felt better about the roster after free agency.
I think a lot of people, they reject just putting it all on Montgomery because you're like, it's the hockey coach. Like, is it really his fault? Like, is he the one taking all these dumb penalties? And is he the one that can't kill off a penalty and everything else? So it's like, just because Montgomery's gone doesn't mean the players are all going to be great afterwards. Maybe I'm in the minority. I don't think the roster is that bad. We talked about it with Raycroft yesterday. They brought back all their leading scorers from a year ago, and then they added Elias Lindholm. They still have Swayman, and now he's just going to play more games. They added some size. Even some of the new guys that they have playing like on the fourth line are like they're better, more consistent players right now. I don't think the roster's that bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, they spent this offseason. Now, I never really got the Zadorov signing, but whatever. I'm like, they spent big money. Fine. Yeah. They like him, whatever. That one looks brutal. I don't get people looking at the Jeremy Swayman contract and being like, that's the problem on the team. Swayman hasn't been great. You know Swayman can play, and you know he can play here.
Yeah.
He hasn't lived up to the contract yet. It's early. I feel like it'll be okay. And by the way, it's kind of now the going rate for goalies if you've watched goalie contracts around the league. So I don't really get the big gripe with that. I would say you need more out of Swayman, obviously. Zadorov's a bum. And they just paid him a bunch of money in free agency. Like, if they're cash-strapped, that's a bigger reason why. Never mind that you're not getting good returns out of McAvoy, and Lindholm has cooled off after he started hot in the first few games. Like, those to me are the bigger issues on the team. But I feel like Montgomery, A, is the easier fix, and B, big picture, I'd move on from Sweeney or Neely. I would.
Yeah.
I don't feel like ownership's even close to that. So you can call for it and complain about it all you want, but how realistic is it? I don't know. Any ideas on a replacement for Jim Montgomery? Do you just go in-house, Keith? Do you just promote off the bench, or you got any ideas? I know Greg had an idea.
Yeah, no, Greg had an outside-the-box idea. No, I don't think I know who would be. Well, because Cassidy was with Providence, right, when they promoted him from there. I don't know. I mean, these guys just get retreaded through left, right, and center, and I feel like you don't necessarily want to go with what the players want because that didn't really work, at least come playoff time it didn't, right? They wanted, like, a nicer guy. And so Bruce Cassidy, I don't. I think
who is Providence now?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's not Pandolfo's. Where is he? Is he at BU? I forget because he was.
Did he take over BU?
Well,
maybe.
It came up with him and Swayman. Is he at BU? I think. Who's in Providence? So like you could promote from Providence. You could promote off the bench.
I think in season.
Chris Kelly, Jay Leach, Joe Sacco. Like yeah. You could do that
David
off your bench.
Quinn.
That's who's in.
I think so.
Providence. David Quinn?
No, it's...
The Sharks coach?
Oh, no. Sorry.
I was going to say, the guy... I thought he was a finalist to get the job last go-round with Montgomery.
No, it's Ryan Mogenel? I have no idea.
Utz?
Utz?
Utz.
What are we saying? What are you saying?
So whatever, like you could go to...
David Quinn was one that was fired last year for their interim that they rehired.
You could go to Providence. You could promote from within. I've seen the name, and this is, third rail because of what happened in his tenure at the end with Joel Quenneville, but like that's a name that I've seen Bruins fans suggesting. I wouldn't go near that personally.
No.
Very accomplished head coach. I'm not going there. The one that Greg brought up today was Patrice Bergeron.
Patrice Bergeron. I never know which former players want to do it and which ones don't. Like Rob Brind'Amour, like when you're watching him as a player, you're like, okay, he's a player. Then he's like, oh, he's a coach. You know, he's like, I don't know. I don't think Bergeron seems too quiet to be a head coach, doesn't he?
I would agree with that. Yeah. He's also never done it. I mean, to me, that would be a problem.
No.
The team also played better without him last year. They played better without
him. He's coaching. He's not playing. He's
coaching. They played better without
him
in the Florida series 2 years ago when they had their great season. He came back and they lost the last three games. I know no one likes to bring that up or mention that. But it's not like they really played for him as a player there at the end.
True.
Whether it was last season, his last season rather, and they played better without him a year ago, went further in the playoffs without him. So, like, I don't think this myth that, like, everybody's going to play super hard for Berge. I think it's exactly that. I think it's a myth. Oh, good. There's my tweet from earlier today.
Should Greg, the Bruins bring Bergeron in as head coach?
Greg put out a poll question, yeah. And I actually think I am with the majority on this. I think most people were like, no, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Let me get the numbers on that poll question. I'll look that up.
I feel like off-season is the time to really do like a full search, and you can see whoever everybody is out there. Mm-hmm. I feel like in-season, you know, because Claude was an in-season firing, and then they just brought on Cassidy, and then he was good, and then they kept him, and then he was there for whatever, 5 years after the fact. Yeah, I don't know. Is there somebody in-house that you can promote? That'd probably be the easiest thing.
Sacco, Chris Kelly, Jay Leach, go for it.
Than like,
yeah. That's what I would do, too. Should the Bruins bring Bergeron in as head coach? A lot
of
alliteration.
That's the new Veritek one.
Although
Veritek ended up getting into coaching, and he's on the staff, so I mean, it's...
I'm more open to the Veritek idea because, right, at least.
But that was an idea people had all the time. Remember at the end? Like, why isn't Veritek the next manager?
Hey, man, play a manager.
Like, all right.
It's like, I don't know. Francona's kind of good.
Like, I guess.
The Greg Hill show poll, 63% say no to Patrice Bergeron, which I'm surprised at. Good for you people. I thought everybody loved, but no matter what you asked about Bergeron, I thought everybody would just be like, yeah, bring him in. He's the best. He can do no wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he only won one cup in his whole career, did a lot of choking, but he could do no wrong. Fine, bring him in.
Twitch chat says Chris Kelly, right? So that'll just be assistant from there. And if you want that player angle, the guy won a cup.
He did.
Guy hosted the Stanley's Cup.
Very popular player while he was here.
Uh-huh.
People loved him.
Yep, good trade deadline acquisition, the whole nine.
Flinging pucks off the glass. Yeah, missing open nets. He did win a cup, though.
Didn't score much, but he didn't have to.
No.
You know, they'd beat you one zip.
Didn't need it. Oh, yeah.
They'd take you down one zip.
Yeah, Tim Thomas would take you down.
Horton would run into a goal, and they'd hold on to it for one nothing.
So to me, I don't love the Bergeron idea, and I'm not telling you I have a great idea. But
No, I don't either.
It's just replacing Montgomery. Maybe it gives your team a shot in the arm because they're not playing for Montgomery. That, to me, is clear.
He's got
to
turn this thing around quick. You're right. I was waiting to see the update. Nothing. If they lose to Philly, who's bad, like you said, that might be it.
So we think he's definitely coaching against Philly tomorrow?
I mean, it's Friday. It's almost high noon. Well, how about this? If we don't get it by the end of our show, then I'll say yes.
Okay.
But I'll leave the door open for the next two hours.
I don't rule out that there's a chance he gets on a conference. He's on a conference call now with the Jacobs.
It'd be very Bruins to fire him at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out there.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good point. Yeah, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, bury him
after the news.
Not bad.
That's not a bad theory.
Okay, guys, can you announce that Drake May's playing so we can fire our coach?
Announce that May's playing, or when did the Celtics tip? Friday, news cycle's dead.
Did they fire Claude or Pirelli during the Patriots parade?
Claude during Patriots parade, yeah. Weasels. Absolute, spineless, loser weasels fired Claude. And Claude deserved it, by the way.
Oh, I was happy but for they I was did it. To move on from that.
They did it in the middle of the Patriots parade, so good point, Nick.
Yeah.
What could be coming in the news cycle where they're just waiting for it? I don't rule out he gets fired before the next game.
Playing on Sunday, so we'll find
that's not
out
a bad
tomorrow
one.
Morning.
Yeah. I was going to say Sunday at 1, maybe, but they play Sunday. If they weren't playing Sunday, I could see him doing it during Patriots kickoff.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You could jump in on the Bruins. Jim Montgomery, his future. Who do you want to replace him? Can the Bruins turn this around? Again, 617-779-7937. It is a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We're going to get to Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock sharp. DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator, scheduled to join us today. We'll talk to Dietrich Wise, Patriots defensive lineman, at some point. We have the week in review on the way about a half an hour from now, and on the way next, we'll get to a four-pack of questions for the Patriots and the Titans right after Trending with Billy Lane. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. We'll get to our Friday four-pack. four questions for Patriots and Titans this weekend. Plus your phone call, 617-779-7937. We were talking about Jim Montgomery and his coaching future. What did you just tell me, Keith?
Well, Scott McLaughlin says the Bruins were originally scheduled to practice in Philly this afternoon. They are now off for the day. So they canceled their practice in Philly today. Of course, they're on the road. Carolina blown out last night. This is not a victory Monday as the New England Patriots just had this past week. This is a let's call the coach into the principal's office type of.
Okay, this is what I said earlier. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it to the Flyers game tomorrow. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
He's not at practice today because there is no practice
today.
They
didn't fire him after the game last night. They let him on the plane. Like, that would have been a good time to do it. Yep. But I said this earlier this hour. I wouldn't be surprised if he was on a conference call right now with Buffalo. And talking to the Jacobses, that wouldn't have surprised me one bit. So they've canceled practice.
Yeah, that's right. They're supposed to have a 1 o'clock practice today. They've decided to cancel that.
In all fairness, like, how do you not fire him after last night? It's 8-2.
If you were thinking about it, and we know that they were, and then if the next performance after you were strongly considering it is the worst game of the year, you get absolutely blown out by the Hurricanes, then I think that would make your answer.
That would.
Because if you really weren't thinking about it, if you saw that performance, it was like, yeah, let's bring him back.
Again, McLaughlin, I like the way McLaughlin put it on WEEI.com. It was he used his Hail Mary, and it wasn't complete. And in fact, all of the fourth liners he sprinkled throughout the lineup were a big part of the problem last night. And so, all right, he tried the last bullet in the gun. He used it up. And so now what do? You move on. And so that could be coming at any moment, is what I would say with the Bruins canceling practice.
Yikes.
Stay tuned here today
on the show.
On Jones. Well, yeah, keep the phone on over there, yep. Scoops Keefe.
Although Greg Hill popped in and said Election Day.
He did say, so that
he said, I think Election Day. I go, that might be too long.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's too many games now and then.
I was trying to come up with events that were happening before the Flyers game on Saturday.
But that would be hilarious. If you want to bury something, Tuesday is a good time.
No. Spineless weasel organization that wants to hide something, Tuesday. You do it right in the middle of the election. It's a great example by Greg. It didn't fit the timeline, but it's a great example. That's a perfect time to fire a coach. The election?
Oh, yeah.
24 hours after the election while the country's burning? There's plenty of time to do that.
Bruins are actually playing on election night.
Yeah, of course they are.
They're at Toronto. It's not election night up there.
Nope. It's a good point.
They got their own king and queen or whatever they have.
They have a prime minister.
Sure.
I think he's...
Yeah.
They got their Mounties.
Yeah. They got to vote in the right Mountie.
Yeah. Loonies, Toonies, Arrow Bars.
Yeah.
As we learned yesterday.
A lot happening.
Chocolates with holes in
it. Pam Anderson. This is what Canada's known for.
Yeah. That's Canada for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. A lot of good comedians.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds. Deadpool, for God's sakes.
Let me tell you, Second City littered with Canadian comics.
Right?
Right across the lake.
Sure.
Border.
Fine.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have the prettier Niagara Falls up there.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. They got the better falls from what I've heard. So anyway, Bruins canceled practice.
The American one's a mess. Just a disaster.
Bruins canceled practice. Montgomery's getting fired one way or the other. Any updates, we'll be sure to let you know. Meanwhile, what do we have for our Friday four-pack, Billy?
Let's go, Bill.
Number one, if you could take any player off the Titans and give them to the Patriots, who would it be?
Oh, my God. You go first. This is one where they just they don't have a lot to choose from.
Is it too easy to say Ridley?
Yeah, because I mean, it might be.
I want Ridley. I wanted him in the offseason, so that's who I would take. But, like, is that too easy and too obvious? Probably. That's probably too easy and too obvious. That's who I would want.
I don't really like any of their players. I think Ridley would be one. When they signed L'Jarius Sneed, now he's been banged up and hurt, but I think L'Jarius Sneed, he's a great corner. I might take him.
I don't think he's going to play this week. That's a great one. He's a legit shutdown corner. I think Simmons is the other guy you'd think of, too.
Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons.
Do I want like a big D tackle? Does that move the needle? It doesn't.
Nick Folk?
But he's well regarded.
Joey Slide, though, is blasting kicks, so. I'm not worried about that.
Okay, but
Slide can kick.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
Nick Folk back. That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jeffrey Simmons, if you want a big athletic defensive tackle, L'Jarius Sneed is a shutdown corner. That's a great one. I actually didn't think about
it. I don't know how good.
And then Ridley.
J.C. Latham was a top 10 pick left tackle, right? So I don't know how good he's been this year.
Can't imagine. Great. They stink.
They're horrible. Yeah, it's a bad offense, but he's a big hoss. You could put him up there. What about Lloyd Cushenberry III? Would you take him?
It's not my favorite roster to go through
for this game.
Like, great LSU team, wasn't he?
I think he probably was.
Let me tell you, there's not a lot. Oh, with like the Burrow team?
I think he was the
Lloyd Cushenberry III.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure was.
Wow, I was.
Third round pick, Cushenberry III.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Lloyd?
Fitz.
Lloyd?
So it's not my favorite roster to go through and pick players.
It sucks.
Like, even last week with the Jets, I know we've hit on the Jets a couple of different times. Not a lot of wins, bad team. They're a mess. A lot of talent, though. A lot of good guys to choose
from.
A lot
of guys.
This team, not so much.
No. No, thanks.
Okay.
Anybody else? No.
I mean, Snead is a good buy. I forgot about Snead. So that's a great one. They spent a lot of money on him.
Yeah, I'll go.
He's probably their best player.
I'll say Snead. Yeah.
I'll stick with Ridley.
Okay.
Honorable mention to Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah. And that ends the list.
Skoronski doesn't do it for you?
No. Nick Folk, I liked.
No, thanks.
Will Levis? You like yourself some Will Levis?
I don't. I never did.
You tried the mayo coffee?
Yeah. Trash. Shockingly trash.
Shockingly, it wasn't good.
Yeah. I don't think he's with his girlfriend anymore, right? She was the one member on draft night, became very popular, very, very attractive young lady.
Uh-huh.
And she, like, leaned over when she... Because remember, Will Levis sank like a stone in the draft. So they're on camera all night long. First round's over. Second round, there he is, back again. And she leans over at one point and mouths, "I have to pee." Yeah, she gave like a meme and everything else.
Oh, I didn't.
And she's like an Instagram
person
or whatever.
I thought they were a thing for a different reason.
Well, there was that came out after the fact. Okay. There was a video.
That one I was aware of. I wasn't aware of this meme.
From what I understand, it was a short film. I legit didn't see it though. It was like scrubbed from the internet before I could get my
your mitts on it.
My gross little eyes on it. It's long gone.
All right, so Will Levis, not our pick. Okay.
No, not Will Levis. It's going to be the Rudolph. It's going to be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer this weekend anyway.
I thought Levis was practicing.
Maybe he is.
Yeah, I don't know. He's eating bananas with the peel on.
Doesn't matter either way.
Yeah, mayo coffee. Yeah, it's a bad, bottom line, it's a bad roster.
It's a bad squad.
Like, if you're Tennessee, you're like, I'll take Drake May. Like, that's easy, right?
Oh, my God,
if you're Tennessee,
yeah.
If
you're running up there.
Jones and Keith in Nashville right now, 10-2.
See what I'm talking about? Yeah, so if you're watching on Twitch and YouTube,
Yeah, I see.
Will Levis's lady. She looks
over hot. She was.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's real gussied up.
I'm guessing she's doing fine now.
Yeah.
I haven't checked in.
I'm guessing he's doing fine.
Well, maybe not anymore if she's gone.
Well.
She flew the coop.
All right, but if she's gone, who's a replacement?
You can get worse. From Cassidy to Montgomery.
That's a good point. Fair.
You can for sure get worse.
There she is. I think if you're doing Jones and Keefe in Nashville.
She does. Pizza Train. She does look a little bit like Rebecca Gayhart.
Yeah, I can see
who
that.
Was my favorite lady of the 90s.
How about that?
As a young little whippersnapper, Rich Keefe's favorite. But yeah. If you're like, hey, you can only pick one lady out there to steal a smooch from. Rebecca Gayhart.
It's the light eyes and the curls.
Yeah. Huge eyes. Yep.
Those are some big eyes.
Rebecca Gayhart was the face of Noxzema.
You were trying to get your gross little eyes all over those eyes.
Disgusting little eyeballs. Yep. That's me.
Not Kristen Kirk was Noxzema. Was she after that?
Maybe. Gayhart was like the original, I think, first like Noxzema girl.
Got it. But yeah, no, it's easy.
And excellent actress. You ever seen Jawbreaker?
No.
Missing out.
I did see her get offed on 90210.
Yeah, she died quick. She was Dylan's wife, right?
Yeah, because Dylan's...
Yeah, her dad was in the mob?
Her dad was
That's
in the
her.
Mob.
That's her.
Yeah, oh, wow, okay.
That was one of her first roles.
Oh, that tremendous. Dylan was going to be in the car.
Yep.
And then there was some kind of like drive-by shoot.
That's fast. Wow, her dad was in the mob. I mean, it's a lot of spoiler alerts going on here.
It happened in the 90s. Yeah, she was also excellent in Urban Legend.
Oh, I've seen that. She
and
was in
a cameo in Scream 2.
Wow.
Hot there in the 90s.
Yeah.
Not just physically, like her career. Hot.
Burning real hot.
Then she killed a guy with her car. So that took a turn.
Yeah. She Venus Williams someone?
Sorry to bring everybody down, but I think she murdered somebody in her car.
Yeah, she pulled a Venus.
Yeah.
Why I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yep.
Okay.
So, took a turn. No pun. Yeah. Well, wrong turn.
What else we got?
Any more questions?
Question two. What Titans jersey, past the present, would you want?
Vehicular manslaughter is what they called it. No, I think the guy was jaywalk. Anyway, let's go back to this.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out.
Was he an old man like with Venus? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. So what was the question, Bill?
What Titans jersey would you
want? Past the present.
Eddie George? Eddie George is a nice one.
So here's my question for the group. Can it be a Houston Oilers jersey because it's the franchise, or do you want to do a Titan jersey?
Now, the question says Titans.
Yeah. I think it has to be a Titans jersey. I'm with Billy on this.
All right. So the Titans switched they became the Titans in 1997.
Yeah, like I think, did Eddie George play for both?
Eddie George played, I think he was a rookie with the Oilers.
Yeah, I'm saying. So like, you can take a guy who played in Houston, but it needs to be a Titans jersey.
Okay.
Eddie George.
That's a really good one. I guess I would go with...
Eddie George is on the cover of he wasn't on the cover of Madden, right?
Yes, he was.
Wasn't he on like the competitor?
Let's not give all the keys away.
It might have been the first Madden. It might have been the first Madden for PS2.
It was Madden 01.
I thought he was on the cover of like Game. Was Game Day kind of the competitor?
Game Day was a good game. Yeah, he might have been on Game Day as well.
Game Day was 989 Studios.
He was also good in the college football game back then for Sega.
I would hope he's one of the Heisman.
Eddie George, Terry Glenn, Bobby Hoying. That was a good Ohio State team. I'd go Steve McNair. Who's Steve McNair jersey? And I love the number 9.
CJ2K.
I love number 9. Yeah, that's a good one. Chris Johnson.
That is a great one. Yeah. CJ2K. Javon.
Ooh, the freak.
The freak. That's a nice one.
You guys want a Kenny Britt jersey?
Nope.
No.
All right. Destined to be a Patriot.
Yeah, he was. Derek Mason, just because of that great member Belichick.
Oh, shut the hell up, Mason. Yeah. Frank Wycheck?
Maybe we'll get. Oh, Frank Wycheck.
We'll get some Frank Wycheck out the late.
Music City Miracle.
Late, great Frank Wycheck. Yeah.
Okay. He's not with us?
No. I don't think man. So. Oh, I think that was a recent one.
Oh, that is sad. All right. Jeez.
Real, this is down.
Each question is ending pretty negatively.
Horrible.
Can I just jump to 3 here?
Yeah, let's
will the Titans pick first in the 2025 draft?
No, definitely not. Carolina.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess Carolina is probably still the answer for that, but they're going to be right there with them.
I said definitely not. That was a little too strong, but no.
That's way too strong.
No,
they're
in
the mix.
I do not believe so. It will be Carolina.
Would you bet good money that they're a top 3 pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
They're a disaster. Because their offensive coach isn't even coaching the offense.
We just hit the roster.
We don't like the roster. No. They already traded away Hopkins. Who knows? They might ditch somebody else in the meantime. They're also one where you're like, hey, the Patriots might steal a win with Drake May. They don't have that steal a win quarterback. It's like Will Levis might give you a game. Rudolph just sucks.
I'm saying again, if you were taking a player off the Patriots roster in Tennessee, it's easy. You take Drake May. It's hard to take somebody off that roster. So, top 3, I would say for sure. But, I don't think they're going to – I think Carolina's back in the driver's seat, number 1 with a bullet for the first pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Final question. First thoughts when you hear Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so I have 2 thoughts. You want to go first? I bet you have one of these 2.
Music City Miracle.
Okay, so that would be one of them.
But then also would be the divisional round game against the Patriots in 03.
100%. Those are the 2 things I think.
Like the coldest icing getting tackled at the 1.
And like the... Oh,
that's a good one. You know what? That should have been on my list. You're right. 3 moments.
Real close Super Bowl, which we didn't have for a while.
No.
We had all blowouts, and then that one literally came down to the 1-yard line. Kevin Dyson, also the answer to a trivia question, the only receiver drafted ahead of Randy Moss. Seemed like a miss, maybe, on their part.
Yeah.
Probably should have gone Moss over Kevin Dyson.
Moss would have gotten the end zone.
Oh, he would have been dancing in the end zone. Yeah. He would have been long past whoever.
That's a good point.
Trying to stop him.
No,
but
that's a good one. That's an
really
oversight
good
on my part.
Andre Johnson beating the tar out of each other.
Andre Johnson, Courtland Finnegan fights. Mm. That run where Steve McNair and Peyton Manning, didn't they were co-MVP? And then the Patriots beat Steve McNair in like the coldest game ever. And then they followed that up with a tie-loss 3-pick game against Peyton Manning. So they beat both MVPs on their way to the Super Bowl.
And it was freezing cold. Bethel Johnson had a big play in that game.
Yeah.
I just remember it was frigid. I wasn't at the game, but just frigid in Boston at that time. It launched. I mean, 2001, I launched the dynasty would be the right way to say it, but it launched that next phase where it's like, they're on track to win 3 out of 4 as the first postseason game that year. So I would say that's high on a Patriots fan, Titans moment. You would think it's either Music City Miracle, Frank Wycheck chucking it back across the field, or Dyson getting dragged down at the end of that Super Bowl. A couple more good ones here on the text line, 37937. Best Titans jersey of all time? How'd I miss this one? Pac-Man.
Oh, Pac-Man Jones.
Little Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, good one.
I also like this. The game day juke button in 99. Juked you hash to hash. Was it that big? I remember the juke button was like crazy.
I think that was an L1 or an L1.
All the way over there.
Yeah, you're right. You're tapping those pointer fingers. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you're juking hash mark to hash mark. Uh-huh. I mean, Eddie George in one of those games. It might have been Madden. It might have been game day. Was unstoppable. And I feel like he was on the cover back-to-back. Maybe that's what I'm mixing up. Maybe he was on the cover of Madden and then game day.
Could have been.
Or maybe it was game day and then Madden. But it was maybe that's why I think he was on there so much. He was on different games.
Also, Belichick running up the score. Somebody had like the when Brady threw like 6 or 7 touchdowns.
59-0. That 59-0 one. 59-0.
Because Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, this actually came up recently because they wore the Pat Patriot jerseys in that game. The throwbacks.
Yes. Yeah. So that's another. That's a good one. That'd be like lower on the list. That's 5.
Yeah.
We got like 4 or 5 things.
That was like 4 or 5.
Titans memorable franchise. Yeah,
not much going on with them.
No.
But there you go. There's our Friday 4-pack for the game on Sunday here on Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. We'll get you the week in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel them out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound!
We gotta go.
Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here.
On WEEI.
All right, what a week it was. The final week of October. The spooky season is over, sadly. But we are now on to other things. Thanksgiving, just around the corner. Christmas shopping. Get excited.
Yeah, I told my kid today. I'm like,
cool it.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is coming up soon. And I'm like, he's like not excited at all. He's like, yeah, what's after Thanksgiving? Because he knows. I'm like, Christmas. He's like, oh, yeah great. Yeah, we're almost at Christmas.
Like Black Friday shopping?
Yeah, that did nothing.
Cyber Monday? You're like, nah, I don't get it. But this is how the week started on Monday. Of course, a Patriots Monday, friend of the show, Christian Gonzalez, joined us. Wanted to, you know, coming off a win, we talked some football. But then again, with Halloween coming up, we wanted to ask him some other questions, you know, get some personality.
Chatty guy.
Christian Gonzalez.
Always a very chatty guy.
So here's how that went.
Hard to get him off the phone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, lastly, I got three Halloween-related questions for you, Christian. First of all, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
Some sour candy.
All right.
Sour? Anything specific?
Sour Patch Kids.
Okay, very good. Oh, nice. Got it. Got it. Sorry to ask about food.
I like the red ones.
Two straight weeks. Did you have a favorite costume growing up? Something that you wore trick or treating?
Oh, boy.
I think I was probably like a football player every year. I didn't really dress up for real.
Okay. And do you have a favorite horror movie of all time?
Probably just the original Halloween.
Very good. Very good. Great one. It wasn't meant to be that like much of a...
How long was that clip?
A minute.
That was three questions.
Three questions. Rapid
favorite
fire.
Candy, favorite horror
candy
movie.
Candy costume horror costume, movie. Candy costume it, horror movie.
Yeah. Should have been rapid fire there.
He was also mic'd up for their win over the Jets. You can see some of the highlights there.
Oh, very good. What you didn't hear in that clip is that we asked him earlier, I don't even remember, about a player he liked watching.
Asked him if he had a favorite wide receiver. We're talking about receivers, and you asked him if he had a favorite one.
Because he had been going against Devontae Adams. I'm like, are there any receivers you like watching? Perhaps even Devontae Adams. Are there any receivers you liked watching when
didn't
you were younger?
Football.
He's like, I didn't really watch football. And then it turns out he won as a football player. This is a generic football player.
Every year.
Every Halloween.
Uh-huh.
Which is just, he's a...
They don't add up. Like, I'm not saying he has to watch football, but it also seems like an odd costume, if that's...
He's a mystery wrapped in a riddle, that one. I don't quite know
what to do. Tune in on Monday. Maybe we'll have him again.
Spot and dimes eating onions.
See how that goes.
This is what's going on.
Tuesday's a great day on this show because it's D'Angelo Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
We get subs in here. We eat like kings.
We count down the days.
Yep.
And so lunch opportunities again available Monday.
The rest of the week.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tuesday, D'Angelo's has the market corner.
We had a little pep in our step this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or we just play old D'Angelo songs. Remember D'Angelo? He had that one
How does it feel?
He had that one video that was very sexual.
It was
there. I'm like, this is on TV?
You were like, camera's going lower, lower,
lower,
lower.
Lower. Yeah, it was aggressive.
It was aggressive.
That was like TV MA.
Yeah. There was cuts in the body I didn't know existed when I saw that thing. Yeah,
he
for
works
sure.
out.
Just old D'Angelo. That's even better, Keith.
He's well put together, D'Angelo. Probably just because he's eating those subs.
Probably.
Meatball subs.
Steak and
that
cheese.
That didn't wear a didn't need to.
Number nine.
I think they'd like that.
Yeah, me too. How have they missed out on that market?
We might be able to actually get D'Angelo himself. Like, what is he doing these
days? That's a good point. He's probably like $35 on Cameo. No. He is alive and well.
Yeah, good.
I just want to double check before we really got into that.
Yeah.
He's 50 years young, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Real name's Michael Archer.
Michael Archer?
Michael Eugene Archer. Better known by his stage name, D'Angelo. D'Angelo.
Nice.
D'Angelo for D'Angelo's.
Talk about giving away a free idea to D'Angelo's.
It's right there.
What's he doing? They don't have a jingle. They should have a jingle.
No, his last tour, I believe, was 10 years ago.
Oh.
I'm shocked he's only 50. How old was he during those TRL days? 17? He's a young guy.
I'd hope older.
Well, 18 at least.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
The way we were objectifying
permission.
Him. Yeah, I would hope that he was a little older than that. Yeah.
It was a Tier Tuesday, as every Tuesday is, and this week, instead of seeing where the Patriots fell in that, we decided to tier Halloween candies. And it, of course, is pretty controversial.
M&M. I mean?
Regular standard M&M.
Oh, goat.
You like goat for
them? I love a regular
M&M. You can go to an M&M.
All right.
The goat!
Do you want a goat peanut M&M's?
Yep.
Yes. There was something about I would go peanut M&M's.
I would goat every kind of M&M.
Sour Patch Kids.
The no. That's a gimme that.
I'll give you that. Yeah. I like it quite a bit. First Airheads?
Time. I would say goat.
Go, oh, God.
Goat?
I love Airheads. Butterfinger. This is the one I was saying is like a teeth.
I thought up your jaw.
It's like teeth plastic.
Yeah, I thought you were thinking a jumper.
It's trash.
I think Butterfinger is trash.
Oh, I would give me that.
Oh, no.
How do you even eat it?
Bill, what do you think it is?
How do you eat it? It's a candy bar.
It immediately coats your
teeth. I love a Butterfinger.
Where are you putting Butterfinger? I'd go, what's below? Give me that.
Frisky.
I'll go Frisky.
All right, let's put it in Frisky.
The middle. Oh, Skittles.
Nope.
No. I've learned the only sour candy I like are Sour Patch Kids and Sweet Tarts. That is not goat. Skittles is not goat.
Yes, it is. Come on.
I would say it's gimme that. Skittles are so much better. Like you're like, I don't really want them. And then as soon as you start eating them, you can't stop.
I would no.
Gummy bears.
All these candies suck.
It's the goat.
Baby trash?
No.
Grown.
Gummy bears grown? Oh, that killed me. Every single
one.
No! I mean, to somebody, all those things are.
Yeah.
But you can check out at Jones and Keefe on Instagram and Twitter. We have the whole visual graphic of what, in fact, was the goat. We had several goat candies.
Yeah, we need to bring
by
that,
the way.
We need to bring that tier back for something else.
Yeah,
the drop really.
That's true.
The amount when you, especially when you hear it in rapid fire like that, it really hits.
Love it. Yeah. Also, of course, yesterday was Halloween. Everybody on the show dressed up, but not everybody's costume was appreciated by one Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. Wiggy's got a bone to pick, though, right?
Yes, I do have a bone to pick. Yeah, okay.
No, we got you. Yeah, you're right. You sound spectacular.
Doesn't
talk.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
But we're going to break in
character. That's fine.
Well, I said to Adam, when you do a costume, you have to do it where I know it. And I'm like, are you just a rocket ship?
Yeah. There's like a rocket man.
It's a rocket
sitting
man.
In front Detective of
rocket
Wiggy. Blasting off. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
there's
just
a fan
a rocket
in there?
Ship.
Yeah, it's just a rocket ship. Yes.
You
yeah.
should. Let me take this
yeah,
off
please.
So I can talk.
Just extra horror.
Surprise! It's me!
No, it's Jermaine Wiggins
the whole time. I didn't know if you guys
Super
knew
Bowl
it was
champion.
Me.
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't get enough lectures at home. I gotta show up.
Yes,
I gotta
yes.
show up and get lectured by Wiggy about my Halloween costume.
Well, because
what is
I am,
your issue?
I feel like I am the honorary Halloween costume guy.
I agree. Yeah,
and
I agree.
Like Rich Raleigh Fingers. Get it? Love it.
Raleigh Fingers.
Hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know
baseball
that.
Hall of Famer, 4-time Rolling Stones Relief Man of the Year, Raleigh
Nick
Fingers.
Chewbacca.
Yep.
Got that? Stop making
yeah.
the sound.
No, that's good. That's true.
Really? My buddy?
Yep.
Get it.
That's a costume.
Yeah. That, get
that's
it.
That's a
like,
costume. Looking good, fellas,
yeah.
back there.
Yeah. You're just a regular rocket ship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just
that's
I'm
like,
just
would be
it.
One thing if it was the Toy Story rocket, man.
Okay, so next
I would
year,
know
next
who
next
Elton
year.
John.
Huh?
Elton John.
Or Elton John. Yeah, if you dressed up like that.
Elton John, Buzz Lightyear, Buzz Aldrin.
Then I know it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're costume shaming.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
At least, yeah, you're costume shaming.
Well, because I'm trying to just help you out. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not like shaming. It's like constructive criticism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it. A little positive spin on it there at the end. But yeah, he wasn't happy with your costume.
No.
And then finally, Jones, from the people who brought you Who Said It, Joe Mazzulla, or a Serial Killer, we were back with Who Said It, Joe Mazzulla, or a Horror Movie Villain.
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
Who Said It?
Yeah.
Celtics head coach and NBA champion Joe Mazzulla. Or a horror movie villain. The only thing to fear is fear himself.
And that was Mazzulla, right?
Oh, no.
Okay,
Connor. Oh!
40 years from now, none of you are invited to my funeral, and that's it. That's it.
Villain.
I'm sorry, Horace. No Deftones tickets for you.
Now, none of you are invited to my funeral, and that's it. That's it.
Amputate a man's leg and he can still feel it tickling. Who said it?
I'm going to go with movie villain.
Correct!
Amputate a man's leg and he can still feel it tickling.
They don't have a weapon. They're not going to come after me. They're saying words, so they don't mean anything. They're just words.
Wasn't that more recently? I believe that was Joe Mazzulla.
Oh,
yes, sir!
Wow. We're all going to be dead soon. It really doesn't matter anymore.
That's got to be Mazzulla.
Yeah!
We're going to be dead soon, and it really doesn't matter anymore.
That's an all-timer. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Let's go with Mazzulla again.
Ooh, Chris, I'm sorry.
Good guess, but congrats on the tickets.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
That would be Norman Bates from the film Psycho. So there you go. That's how you play. We gave away some Deftones tickets.
Yeah.
That was good.
We gave away a bunch of pairs
yesterday. Job by everybody yesterday.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, good participation. And the, again, just the range we have on this show.
That's right.
To go from Joe Mazzulla versus a serial killer
yep.
to Joe Mazzulla versus a famous horror movie villain.
Pretty good.
I think speaks to the range of ideas we have and the variety we have on this
program. And what Joe Mazzulla offers the table, which is just wild quotes.
Like three weeks later, you can come up with a whole new game based on just something your crazy head coach said.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Running out of time for Jim Montgomery games, I can tell you that. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.